You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
No announcements, we'll go to scripture reading. Okay, it's in Luke today. Luke 21, 25 through 33. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
One of these days I'm going to give a little talk about what I've learnt about aids to Bible understanding and practical things. One of the practical things is a good pen to write in your Bible with. And out of all the pens I've used over the years, this one here, I'm telling you, it's the best. It lasts forever, and it doesn't bleed through the paper. And it doesn't matter how many years go by, you can come back to it, and it's just like the ink on your page that came with your Bible. It's just solid and black. It's really good. My other one, I lost one of them, and I just looked and found a source for them, and I just got a whole bunch of new ones, so they're really good. Let's pray. Our God, Father, we thank thee today, Lord, for the tremendous truth that have been kept in the scriptures, preserved for us, Lord. And as we have just read, Lord, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We thank thee for that promise. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we have been studying the book of Genesis, and Genesis is aptly named because it's all about beginnings. And if you go to the Companion Bible and you have a look at one of the early appendices which talk about the law as you'll find it promised and given in the scriptures, and then also look at parallels between Genesis and Revelation, really cool parallels that Bullinger has written in there. And at some stage we may have a look at that in more detail. Now, today, what I'm going to do is I'll remember to put my computer up here, after which I shall hit a button and see what it works. So we've been looking at the book of Genesis, especially around the time when Noah went into the ark. And this was a fantastically interesting time. And we know the Lord's words, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And it elaborates on this as you read around this. And it talks about the time leading up to when the eight went into the ark. And so you find, of course, that there was tremendous angelic activity at that time. We know. My microphone, did I not turn it on? I did turn it on. So it should be on. Everything's cool here.
Hello, hello.
Not as loud as usual, but my voice, I think, will still be recorded. As good or bad as it is. Okay, so this is really interesting because it talks about the events that came on the world to do with angels, has to do with the genetics. It has to do a lot with the heavenly realm coming to the earth. And I find this a very interesting thing. We have at one stage done a study about portals in the scriptures, and that the facts are that we are not alone, all right? We are not alone. There are other beings that were created by God. And God has allowed these beings to come to the earth. And that is certainly true from a biblical perspective. If you're a Bible believer, then you will have to believe that angelic beings of all kinds of descriptions have come to the earth, and that they even war on earth, and they come with machines. They do. They come with all sorts of machines. And these are recorded in the scriptures. Now, therefore, it should not be a surprise to us that if the same things that happened in the days of Noah would be repeated in some sort of fashion, maybe in a modified fashion, during the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And so, in what way would they come? Well, we've got all sorts of possibilities. I've touched on some of them. And so what I'm going to do today is just rapidly move on. We've talked about the fact that Paul is someone very significant in the lives of people right through the ages and in the lives of the apostles. Paul was a significant character. Peter had problems with Paul. Paul had to straighten Peter out. And Barnabas also. There were others that fell away in a dissimulation cause because there was a group of Jewish believers that went aside from the doctrine that Paul had given about salvation by grace and the fact that God was bringing salvation to the Gentiles. And they were walking in a way which was wrong before Paul and before God ultimately, and Paul would nail them on that and would tell them off. And he took the lead in showing them where they were wrong. But notice what Peter says. He says here, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our, and notice how he talks about him, beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So there was certainly some wisdom that Peter acknowledges that was given to Paul, and that he passes this on to you, that is the Hebrews. It's interesting, don't you think, that we do have a book called the Hebrews. And it's very likely that Paul wrote that. It's impossible for us to prove that he wrote it. But it's very likely that he did write it. And so, I guess I went a little bit quick. So notice here, I've written his name with the capital A and then small u, symbolizing aurum for gold. And to understand the revelation given to Paul the prisoner is to really come to a new place in your Christian life. It really is. It happened to me. I came to understand. I was really despondent. I got to the point where, man, I thought, I'm a believer. I know I'm saved. I know that the gospel of salvation, the gospel of the grace of God, is true and right, and it's the message that we need to preach and proclaim. But man, there's a lot of confusion. And I had a lot of confusion in my life, because at that time I was getting confusing messages from the pulpit, I was getting confusing messages from radio, I was getting confusing messages from TV on subjects biblical. There's tremendous confusion that went on. And I was not a happy chappy, even though I was saved and you are saved. But I was not a happy chappy. I thought, man, there's got to be some answer. And I was not content. And I won't give you all the details of what happened to me, but ultimately what happened was this understanding, through the writings of other people, came to me, and then I was like born anew, if you know what I mean. I was certainly saved, but then coming to this understanding brought a huge amount of light to me, and I got so enthused about what I learned. We talked about this whole idea that there is certainly something very, very important concerning the appearing, as Paul talks about the hope that was especially given to us in this age. So there are ages in the Bible, right? There are plenty of ages. So there's this idea of ages. Okay, and ages are kind of interesting, because when you look at how the Bible is translated, the idea of the ages are often translated as eternity. You'll find everlasting life sometimes is put in the context of ages of the ages. And even Time, therefore, is put and broken up into ages. It's not like eternity is somehow just a continuum of time and it just keeps on going. Rather, God breaks time up into segments of ages. And that's why, don't take this in the wrong way, right? When we talk about having eternal life, we're talking about having life that is appropriate for the age. And that there's going to be plenty of ages that are going to come, and there's no reason to believe that we will not be adapted to all kinds of environments that are coming on the world in the future. And so time certainly is moving on, but time is broken up into ages. And therefore, for any particular age, there is going to be some sort of doctrine or teaching that will appropriately reorient us for the age, right? So whatever age you're in, 1, 2, 3, we can number them, or we can give special names to them. A lot of these names are just made up by us, right? So just numbering them is as good as any other name. So you've got all sorts of ages. And so there's going to be, usually what happens is, there's some sort of failure, right? There's some sort of failure on the part of man not obeying what God has given. And then what happens is some sort of judgment comes onto the world, and then a new dispensation given. Meaning, what is a dispensation? Well, a dispensation is a body of knowledge that is released into an age. And it'll be released through prophets, apostles, whoever. And they would receive this information, and then their responsibility is to pass it on for the people of the age. So failure is often what happens at the boundaries of these ages, and some sort of judgment coming on the world. Now that's a kind of a quick sort of rundown of this idea. And so what we've come to is this understanding that sometime after the book of Acts, there was a great failure of Israel. And so the next question that we must ask is, okay, well then, if there was a great failure that came on of the purposes to do with Israel, then a new age would begin, there would be a judgment on Israel, there would be some sort of new dispensation given to an appropriate person, right? So Israel fails, and then God says, all right, here's your judgment, and now here is the new dispensation given to whom? Well, we've got to find that person. And if we look at what happens across the book of Acts, right, it goes along, it comes to the end of the book of Acts, and you find that Israel is found guilty again. If you go through the land and through the dispersion, you find that Israel is progressively failing and failing and failing, rejecting the message of Jesus being the Messiah, throwing dust up in the air and ripping their clothes apart and all this kind of stuff. We will not have this man to rule over us. You know, rejection, rejection, rejection. And as you go through the book of Acts, you find this. At some stage later on, what happens is to this man, to Paul, is given a fresh revelation, a dispensation. This is a dirty word in the minds of some people. It's just a bad word. I don't know why. It's in the scriptures. And the word is this one, oikonomia. And if you say it fast enough, you can see the word economy in there, oikonomia. So there is this oikos. You can see oikos is in there, and you can see another part, nomos. So if you break this up, you can see two parts to it, oikos and nomos. And oikos is a house, and nomos is a law. So law, it's the household rules. The rules of the household. Dispensation. Perfect. It's a great translation. The dispensation, the rules of the household. How to keep the household functioning. What do we see in the household today? Well, in many circumstances, completely blown, man. The household blown apart, and the rules of the household sometimes are not adhered to or not even existent. But there are rules that have been given, and given to Paul the prisoner at just the right time. What you notice is that there is certainly judgment that comes on Israel, because the temple, which is really the picture of the inner heart of Israel is judged, and it's sacked and destroyed. And so when you see the temple destroyed, you know, man, there's some judgment going on here, man. There's something really going on with Israel. So what we're seeing in the days of Noah, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Well, here is something very, very fascinating. What's very fascinating is that as you go through the book of Acts, you see prophecy being fulfilled. It's being fulfilled. And furthermore, you find that there are writers. There are writers like James. Now, here's the thing I'm beginning to work on. See if you get this, right? There's James. There's Peter. And there's John. There's Jude. Right? These writers here are writing during a time that they call the last time. They call it the last days. Look at this. I'll just show you something here. Watch this. See, what are you going to do with these epistles? Right? What are we going to do with these epistles here? And here's the truth. We who have come to understand something about Paul the prisoner, we spend all of our time trying to dig the gold out of there, right? That, to be honest, we don't spend much time with this. Why? Because we have found the part of the Bible which is especially addressed to us, and we say, okay, let's dig in here. But I think, to be fair, we've kind of left these alone. And so therefore, for many people in our camp, they don't come to a good understanding of these epistles. But they're in our Bible, and we need to understand why they're in the Bible. But what we're going to find is that these epistles relate very much to the days of Noah and the days where you find the last days beginning to come to pass, which you find in the book of Acts. You do find it. They're beginning to come to pass there. Now, okay, let's just show you something here. Go across to 1 John, since we're talking about these guys. 1 John and 2, chapter 2. And before we just get there, I just want you to see the nature of John. You can see John in here. You, whenever you hear of John, what do you think of? Well, you think of the gospel according to John. And that is not too far away from this particular epistle. Look what it says in John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. This is very close to how John begins his gospel. You can see John in here. Well, if you go across to chapter 2, in verse 18, it says this, little children, it is the last time. Boy, that's pretty amazing, don't you think? Somehow you've got to reckon with this. You've got to reckon with this. If you can't reckon with this, it's always going to bug you. And this is one of the key things that opens up the door to understanding these epistles. Because you see, this is not Paul. Right? These are men who were gathered together by the Lord when he was on the earth, and they're continuing a ministry. It's important that you understand that. It says this in chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it's the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Hold the phone, man. This guy starts off telling you it's the last time, and then he doubles down. He doesn't sort of back off from it. No, he doubles down on this doctrine. Whereby we know that it is the last time. So don't try and push this aside. This has got to be significant. Now, if you go across to near the end of that chapter, chapter 2, verse 28, it says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming, at his parousia, at his coming. Oh, okay. So this is all nearby. Can you see the perspective of this? The perspective is, this is the last time. You know it's the last time. I'm doubling down on it. I'm not making a mistake. You can see that Antichrist shall come. And you can see even now there are many Antichrists, whereby you know that it is the last time. You know it's the last time. And what does he say right over here? He says, verse 28, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. His coming is very close, very close. That's kind of interesting. Look across at another book that you may have looked at before, James, and have a look at James chapter 1. James, servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Gentiles which are scattered abroad. No, to the 12 tribes. Has Peter just suddenly forgotten about the 12 tribes, you know? Because Paul, the beloved brother Paul, he's come and he's given wisdom. Does that mean that now Peter has just... No, there's no such thing as the 12 tribes. No. The 12 tribes are still in focus, man. Still in focus. And there's a doctrine that's coming to them. You say, wait, that's wild. What are you talking about? You're trying to tell me that James is written to the 12 tribes? What? Read it. Right? So now we're beginning to get some confirmation about stuff, right? Peter, what's his ministry? Well, he was given, according to Galatians, a ministry to the circumcision. John was given a ministry to the circumcision. Is it any surprise that we read here about a ministry that relates to Israel? No, it's not. So, what does this relate to? Well, this relates to something pretty amazing. And what it has to do with is this tremendous, extreme time. And I want, we need more time to dig this out properly, but we will look at this now. Now, there are three places in the Bible where this doctrine is brought up in a very specific way. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. These three places, you're going to find tremendous doctrine about the coming of the Son of Man and the time leading up to it, which is very important, because here you'll see how these guys fit into that and how it is that it makes absolutely no sense to try and take the doctrine that was given specifically to the 12 tribes in that time and try and put it on us today. If you try and do that, you're going to have a lot of trouble. These were all speaking in tongues. These people were all involved with signs and wonders. Same with Paul during this time, during the book of Acts. Why? Because he had a ministry to the Jew first, man. The Jew was still there. God was still dealing with Israel. Now let's look at this. Let's go across to Luke. All right, I'm going to go to Luke because we don't have time to go through the other two. Maybe next time I might do it. But let's look at Luke chapter 21. Okay, so Luke 21, it says this. We'll read at verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Now, where is this treasury located? Well, it's located in the temple. The temple is up and running at this time. It's a functional temple. It existed, physical thing, right? This is Luke 21, verse 1. But I want you to just go back a little bit. Go back to Luke 20, verse 1. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people, whereabouts? In the temple. This is where he was teaching, in the temple. And preached the gospel. Gospel is good news. Now, what you need to do is you need to understand what the content of that gospel was. You see, there's not just one gospel in the Bible. Gospel just simply means glad tidings, good news. And what you need to do is you need to locate what's the content of that good news. Because when Jesus came, he came preaching the kingdom of God, man. The chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders. That's interesting. Now, if you go across to Luke 21 and verse 37, have a look at this. It says this, "And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him." So he's teaching during the day in the early morning in the temple, but then at night he goes out to the Mount of Olives and there he teaches. Well, if you are careful, you'll find that these two addresses, which bear upon a similar subject, they are addressed in the Mount of Olives. The location is given, Mount of Olives. So Luke 21, temple, and then Matthew 24, Mark 13, these are two accounts that were done and given and produced by Jesus in the Mount of Olives. So you cannot make, you should not try to make these conform, because they are different addresses. And we know they are different addresses because they are given at different localities. Do you see the point I'm making here? See, what some people try to do is they try and mash these things together to say that there's only one account and these are different accounts of that one account of Jesus Christ. In other words, three different perspectives on the one giving of this teaching of Jesus. But it's not. These are different accounts given at different times and different localities, as I'm showing here. You see the point? Okay, so that's the first thing. Do not buy into this idea that these are just different perspectives on the one address of Jesus. No, these are different addresses. Okay, cool. Okay, now, as you come down here, look what it says in verse 5, or Luke 21, 5. "And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things, which ye behold, the days will come, in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Oh, this is the temple, man. Oh, got to be destroyed. "And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" Good question, right? In fact, there's two questions here. Master, when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Two things, two questions there. "And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them." Wait a minute. Saying, I am Christ. Well, didn't we just read from John in 1 John 2:18? There will be antichrists, and even now there are many antichrists in the world. Don't go after them. See, this is very important. Jesus addresses this point. And you'll notice the pronouns. Notice, take heed that ye. Do you notice he's talking to the people then present? Ye. And then he goes on. He says, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. Oh, these things must first. There's an order. That's the next thing. There is an order in which this prophecy is going to be laid out and be fulfilled. But the end is not by and by. Now, I know this is one expression that comes into English and we have the wrong notion of it. You know, in the sweet by and by. Oh, yeah. Wow. By and by means immediately. It means immediately. Now, usually people, when they hear by and by, they get the notion or it means in some extended time, right? Some extended time. But actually, in the Greek text, and as it's translated here, it means immediately. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not immediately. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Now, here it comes. This is the part which separates Luke off. The account of Jesus speaking in the temple This is how it really veers off from what happens in Matthew and Mark. Because look what he does. He says this in verse 12. Oh, isn't it amazing how these numbers come out? Verse 12. Right? You know, the 12, the tribes, 12 tribes of Israel. But before all the... Whoa! He goes back! Instead of going forward, like you'll find in Matthew 24 and Mark 13, if you go there and find these accounts, you find that Jesus goes forward into this tremendous time of the tribulation. But Luke, in his account of what Jesus said in the temple, what he does is says, but before all these, oh man, they shall lay their hands on you. These are prophecies that relate to people then present. Right? That's important. And you notice he talked about there shall be those that, you know, shall pretend that they're Christ. Don't follow them. Okay. And we remember John says in 1 John 2:18, you know it's the last time. You know. Because look, can you see the Antichrist? Okay. And he says, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Now, it's interesting if you look at the life of Paul. Now, Paul is not being directly addressed here because Paul is basically not one of the disciples here. He's not in vogue here. But it's very interesting if you look at Paul's life, you see that's happening in his life, right, during the book of Acts. Remember, when Paul comes, he comes with a ministry to the Jew first. And he is there to minister to the nation of Israel. Now look what it says in verse 13, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. What's he talking about? He's saying, I will give you the words, knowledge, the gift of knowledge is here, friends. You don't have to worry about what you need to say. I'll just give it to you, man. Well, what do you find John talking about? What do you find in the book of Acts? You find the gifts of the Spirit doing these sorts of things. For I will give you a mouth. Wow. And wisdom. Man, you look back in your own life and you think about things you've said. And man, you should have bit that tongue, man. You know? You should have bit that tongue. Because it's very hard to fix it afterwards. Words, man. Once they're said, pretty hard to suck it back in. It says, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Wow. Yeah. Great wisdom. It's always a remarkable thing to see someone speak and to deliver a message just appropriate for the time. You know, just exactly the right words that need to be said to rouse a nation, to get them busy for a task that must happen. We've seen this in some examples in our own history here in the United States, where we've had some great leaders. We don't have so many great leaders anymore, but they have been in the past. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Well, you find this happening. You find this recorded in the book of Acts. Stephen, for example. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. Oh, wait a minute. So, notice here is this promise. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Oh, okay, so there is going to come this time right up to when the temple is going to be compassed about by armies. And it says in verse 22, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled, but woe unto them that are with child, etc. So during that time there will be people who have to move about, and those that would have children, it would be a tremendously harsh time, etc. And then look at verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations and perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts. Now you'll notice in verse 25 down to verse 33, you'll find that there, to verse 27, from 25 to 27, you'll find there is this change where it moves from the second person, you guys, and then it moves to somewhere, some other people. Look at verse 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. It becomes very obvious as you read these passages that Luke takes us back and shows us something that's going to lead up to then, which included the disciples. And then what he does after showing this, he then moves to the third person and says, yeah, but these are the things that are going to happen when the Son of Man comes. Another group, a different group of people. Not talking about those you people, not you people, the disciples, but some other group who shall see the Son of Man coming. He breaks up this discussion in that way. And then he goes on. It says in verse 31, so likewise ye. Now he comes back to them and he says, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation, that is the one that's, you know, that's right there in present, he's talking about them, the ye see these things come to pass. That's where he goes back, before all these things. When you see these things come to pass, he says, verily I say unto you, so he's saying truly, verily means truly, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Now that's what it's translated as. The word is ginomai, and it's put in the subjunctive, and it means begins to come to pass. So these people will see these things begin to come to pass. That's these people here. They see these things begin to come to pass. We see John writing about it. It is the last time. Hebrews, it talks about it is the last days. Yes, we find the last days beginning to come to pass. That's what these guys are writing about. But the question I've got for you is, yeah, but what finally happened? Well, what finally happened is the temple is destroyed. And a new revelation is given to Paul the prisoner. Yes, we see the beginnings of things starting to occur. The last times and the last days of prophecy are here. And these people are writing about it. And what do we find preachers doing today? Well, what they're doing today is they're ignoring this truth and they're coming across to these writers and they're getting doctrine and putting it on people today and say, well, you need to speak in tongues, you need to do these signs, and they'll take things like the new covenant, which was given to whom? I dare you to read this passage. I dare you to read these passages. I dare you to read them. Because if you read these passages, you'll see that the new covenant in the Old Testament was given to Israel, and the New Covenant in the New Testament was also given to Israel. It's the same New Covenant, and it's given to Israel. And what do you find Paul doing back here? Well, he was an able minister of the New Covenant. That's what he was doing. He was confirming promises made unto the fathers. He was saying none of the things that Moses and the prophets said should come all the way through here. Why? Because God is still dealing with Israel. The last days are beginning to start up. These guys are writing about it. But my friends, something happened. Israel rejected that truth and God gave to Paul something new. This is in here. That is, you'll start to see in this passage, especially Luke 21, you can see where these guys are ministering. They're ministering in that time. Those epistles fit perfectly in there. They are ministers of the circumcision. That's what they're doing. It's a rock and roll, man. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I do realize this. This is not the sort of lesson that you're going to come to a new babe in Christ, you know? Someone just finally comes to knowledge of Jesus Christ. What are you going to do? You're going to slap this on a person and write it? No, it doesn't make sense. There's a time and place for everything, right? But I think for us who have been saved for some time, this is overdue, man. This is overdue. We need to get this out. Now, I listened to this guy. He's a really smart preacher. He's a smart teacher. He's well qualified in a secular sense. But do you know something? He is talking absolute nonsense when it comes to these issues about how we should then live in this age. Because he is doing precisely what I said. He is taking Israel's spiritual food and he's trying to ram it down our throats. You know what I'm saying? Trying to take food that belongs to another group, spiritual food that belongs to another group in another age, and trying to feed us that meal. Well, I'm sorry, man. I don't want that meal because it's given me and has given me indigestion. Serious indigestion. What do you take for indigestion? Well, I'm giving you a new pill. It's called Right Division. You need to take a serious course of Right Division. You can either take the blue pill or the red pill. Right? And I suggest you take the red pill. You take the red pill, it's a bit painful. It is painful, man. The reality can be painful. But finally, you get out of that little cocoon and you jump out of that Duracell, man, and you come to life and you see the real world as it really should be. Okay, cool, man. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this message, Lord, that for the scriptures that we've read. We ask we'd understand them even more as time goes by, Lord. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.